Coming up on today's episode of the Locked On Bucs podcast, we talk about the latest news regarding the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We wrap up our final thoughts on the divisional round win over the Saints, and we begin our first look ahead at the NFC Championship against the Green Bay Packers. All of that and more coming up on today's episode of the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast, brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code Locked On, and you will receive 20% off your next order. I am James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we are doing over at BucsNation.com, and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at @JYarko_Bucs, at @DHarrison82, and at @Bucs_Nation. I'd like to welcome in all of our new and returning listeners. Andrea, hope you came back for this episode. Appreciate you calling in yesterday's episode. For those of you that haven't heard, go ahead and go back, listen to my solo episode, 6 voicemails. I think that might be a record of some sort, David. 6 voicemails in that episode, not one question. Not one of you could ask me a question.
They don't need questions, James. They're getting nothing but answers from this Bucs team right now.
True that. Speaking of this Bucs team, let's get into a little bit of the news. David, you were not around for the Vita Vea news, so we're going to get your thoughts on that in just a second. But a couple of other quick notes. The MRI on Antonio Brown's knee did not show any kind of structural damage. He is currently day-to-day. I would expect him to play on Sunday at Lambeau Field. And some bigger news. This was good to see. Not as good as it could have been or should have been, but it's still something. And that is, the Pro Football Writers of America today revealed its annual all-rookie team with Tampa Bay Buccaneers safety Antoine Winfield Jr. and tackle Tristan Wirfs both earning spots on the roster. Winfield Jr. started all 16 regular season games for Tampa Bay, recording 91 tackles, including one for a loss, 6 passes defensed, 4 quarterback hits, 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery, and 1 interception. Winfield's 3 sacks tied for the 2nd most sacks by an NFL defensive back this season. Among NFL rookies, he ranked 5th in tackles, tied for 3rd in sacks, tied for 5th in passes defensed, tied for 5th in forced fumbles, tied for 6th in fumble recoveries, tied for 8th in interceptions. Winfield joined Jamal Adams as the only defensive backs with 75 or more tackles and 3+ sacks this season. Tristan Wirfs played every offensive snap for the Buccaneers this season, starting all 16 games at right tackle. He was part of an offensive line that allowed a sack on 3.51% of all pass attempts, the 2nd lowest mark in the NFL and the 2nd lowest in team history for a single season. He allowed just 1 sack in more than 1,000 snaps played this season for an offense that ranked 2nd in passing yards per game, 3rd in points per game, 7th in yards per game, and 7th in yards per play. The Buccaneers have now had multiple players on the PFWA all-rookie team in consecutive seasons after cornerback Sean Murphy Bunting and linebacker Devin White made the roster in 2019. In total, 8 players drafted by Buccaneers general manager Jason Light have earned all-rookie honors, including 5 that remain on Tampa Bay's NFC Championship roster. David, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, to AB, good to hear that he doesn't have any, like, significant damage and all that stuff. And, yeah, absolutely, you know, expect a guy like that, a veteran who's been through this dance before, he knows what's on the line, and he's lost the game. So, I mean, he's getting his, what, 5th or 6th chance at this point. More chances than a lot of people would say that he deserves. But then going over to the all-rookie team, at the end of the day, man, this is the kind of stuff, I mean, you know, not by itself, obviously, but this is something that someday – someone might stand up in a room and say, this is why Antoine Winfield Jr. deserves to be a Hall of Famer, and then go all the way back to that rookie year and say, in 2020, his rookie year, he was a PFWA, you know, all rookie team member. So, I mean, that's how important some of this stuff is. And then you look at draft value, and you know, we're giving a lot of praise to Jason Light in this week, and well-deserved. But Antoine Winfield Jr., fourth safety off the board. None of the three safeties, Xavier McKinney, Kyle Duggar and Grant Delpit, made this list. Antoine Winfield Jr., the fourth safety off the board, the first one on the all-pro or all-rookie team. Tristan Wirfs, again, the fourth tackle on the board on that list. Jedrick Wills did make it, was drafted ahead of him and did make it as well. So two of those top four tackles making those lists. So, I mean, that's value right there. When you get the fourth tackle and the fourth safety and they're both all rookie members, that's value right there. And then, like you said, 2 years running. And, I mean, look at it, guys. Antoine Winfield Jr., Tristan Wirfs, Sean Murphy Bunting, Devin White, what do they got in common? All rookie list. What else do they got in common? Big impacts on why the Buccaneers are playing in the NFC Championship game.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. By the way, did you see the video of Antoine Winfield Sr. getting into it with a Saints fan at that game? Because that was hilarious.
Absolutely. Love that, it. Absolutely.
That Saints fan did not know who he was chirping at. And I promise you this, he did not want that smoke. And David, until Junior had posted a comment somewhere or replied to somebody on Twitter, I had completely forgotten that his dad was part of that Vikings team that had the bounty on Brett Favre. You know, his dad should have been playing in a Super Bowl against the Indianapolis Colts. And I saw Winfield Jr. say something like, I had to get him back for Pops. And I'm like, man, that's motivation right there. I loved it.
Yep.
All right. Well, David, just like Antoine Winfield Jr. is one of a kind, you yourself are one of a kind. And so are your taxes. Aww. That's why TurboTax Live.
You're lying, especially this year.
Yeah. No joke. That is why TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who are ready to listen to you, learn about your unique tax situation, and help you get the best tax outcome. Maybe you're moonlighting as a rideshare driver and have questions about what qualifies as a deduction. Maybe you want an expert to walk you through the process since most of your income last year came from freelance jobs. Or maybe you'd like to hand the whole tax filing process off to an expert while you perfect your banana bread recipe. Whether you want to file with the help of an expert or let an expert do the filing for you, TurboTax Live tax experts are here to help, giving you the confidence to know that your one-of-a-kind, uniquely you taxes are done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. David, I wouldn't trust anyone else with my tax. I've been using TurboTax basically since my dad stopped doing my taxes for me back when I had a little part-time job in high school.
Yeah, James, I'm a huge TurboTax as well, and I've been using it really since I started doing my own taxes, which I think was about 21 when I started doing my own taxes. Before that, I used the Army's free service, which I don't know how much I would recommend that service. But anyway, this episode is also brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, which launched exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launched January 18th, and you can see it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Segment 2, best and worst from the divisional win over the New Orleans Saints, coming up here at the Locked On Bucks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Back now for segment 2 here at the Locked On Bucks podcast, getting ready to talk about our best and our worst as you, Bucks Nation, decided. Unfortunately for all of us, 2020 is over, is in the rearview mirror. 2021 already looking good if you're a Bucks fan, right? It's time for a fresh start, and the Buccaneers have already gotten you a few more wins. If you're betting this year and you want more of those wins, listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're going to be picking college basketball, of course, football, and then the NBA all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. James, time to talk about our best and our worst. As always, for our new listeners, if you didn't hear it before, in our post-game reaction episodes, we give our best and our worst. And then I go over to BucksNation.com, and the day after the game, we post up an article, a column, about those best and worst. I usually add another option. This week, I actually added two more options to the categories. You guys vote, Bucks fans. You put your input in there. We come back here and we review them here in the middle of the week before we transition to the next game. So, James, for the best, you nominated Devin White. I went ahead and lumped in Devin White and the entire defensive performance just because I didn't really want to double tap that whole thing. I nominated the unusual suspects, rather, on offense, the Cam Brates of the world, even Leonard Fournette with Rojo, you know, back active, not necessarily 100%, but Leonard Fournette's still getting the lion's share of that work there. The other two that we added were taking what the defense gave them. Listen, this is one of the lowest yards per completion, yards per attempt that Tom Brady had this season. And in fact, actually the other two games where he had similarly low yards per attempt numbers, the Bucs actually lost those games. So for them to get a win and not only get a win, but also have that number really shows the growth in this offense. I think being able to take what the defense gives them, come out with the victory. And then just because it had to be mentioned, I went ahead and threw in there sending Drew Brees off to retirement. And James, just like predicted, just like I think everybody pretty much knew, Devin White takes the cake in this one and much deserved with 80% of the votes.
Well, once again, my people voted the right way. They voted for what I nominated. And you can't use the excuse that I had first pick this time because...
No, because I wrote mine in first.
Yeah, you picked first. And I just want to say, you put in sending Drew Brees off into retirement as one of the best things of the game.
Yeah.
Yesterday on the Bucs Nation Facebook page, I shared an article from BucsNation.com that our manager, Gil Arcia, wrote up about how the Saints were talking the talk, but the Bucs walked the walk. So I posted that on the Facebook page, and I did my little caption ahead of the headline, and I said the Saints were busy running their mouths, so the Bucs ran Brees into retirement. I had like six people comment on there about how rude that was and how we should be respectful of Drew Brees and his career. And I'm like, that wasn't even mean. I simply stated a fact.
Yeah, I mean, you and I already talked about on this show. Like, we both have ultimate respect for what Drew Brees has done and what he's accomplished in his career, especially, you know, leaving the Chargers. I mean, nobody expected his career to go the way that it has. And I mean, I think everybody will go down and look back at Drew Brees' career and say that this is not a one Super Bowl career. This should be a multiple championship career that he's put together. You know, unfortunately for him, unfortunately for the Saints fans, obviously they only got the one, and that's you know, it is what it is. I mean, Dan Marino would happily take that one, you know, if he could go back and do it again. But at the same time, guys, this is sports. This is athletics. This is competition. Drew understands both sides of it. Like, if, you know, Tom Brady's not really the trash talker type, especially in interviews and all that stuff. But he knows the score, and you can see it on the face of guys like Cam Jordan. They know what it is. You know, all the trash talk, all the, you know, the tweets, you know, the Marshawn Lattimore is coming out, you know, better luck next year and all that stuff. That's part of the game. And at the end of the day, it's still a brotherhood and a fraternity, but it's based off of trash talk. You know, don't necessarily take a little bit of fun poking, you know, trash talk as disrespect. Believe me, we all definitely respect what Drew Brees has done. But listen, it's just like shutting down the vet. And I know some Bucs fans are like, I don't respect the Eagles. Got it. But there's a reason why that felt so good. And it wasn't because they were bad. It's because they were good and you just beat a giant. This is the same thing. You just sent a giant to retirement. That's impressive. That's something we're celebrating, even though you still appreciate what that giant had done.
Exactly. You know, I was simply stating the fact that they ran him off into retirement. I wasn't calling him names or anything like that. So I was just kind of surprised at the backlash in the comment section.
You're never going to make everybody happy. That's why we do these things. And, you know, we go back to the Jameis Winston experiences and being called homers and haters all in the same time. So, I mean, you're never going to make everybody happy. But just to clarify that, I mean, at least here at the Locked On Bucs podcast and really over at Bucs Nation, I can tell you, really for all the writers, we all definitely have a lot of respect for what Drew was able to accomplish over his career. So let's just clear that up. So switching over now to the worst, James. Officiating was your nomination. Mine was not scoring touchdowns without having turnovers leading into them. Special teams coverage is the one that I added in there. You know, those early punt returns especially could have been extremely disastrous for this game, and the entire tone of the game could have changed really quick. And then the bonus fourth one that I put was nothing because the Buccaneers won, and I was kind of hoping Bucs fans would take the bait on that one. But like, look, the Buccaneers are going to the NFC Championship game. Yes, there are flaws, of course, but this is not the time of season where you sit back and you dwell on your flaws. It's the time of season you say, you know what? Boom, we won. Put that one on the shelf. Let's move forward and look at the next opponent. Only 16% of Bucs fans picked that one, so it didn't really work out. But special teams coverage got 37% of the votes, taking the lead there, and that is our worst of the week, is that special teams coverage.
Hard to argue. You know, I'm disappointed I didn't get a clean sweep in this one, but you know what? It's I understand, and I respect the decision of the masses.
Absolutely. And just like we did last week, I think we're going to start making this kind of a weekly thing. We did have a comment in the comment section from one of the voters. This coming from Crimson King. That's the username over at BucsNation.com. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's kind of long, but basically saying that the defense outshined the offense, but that's not a bad thing. You knew that the offense might struggle against this defense because of 38-3, right? The biggest worry was the defense being picked apart by Brees and then Michael Thomas, especially Michael Thomas was shut down completely. You know, worried about not getting pressure on Breeze, Alvin Kamara having a big game, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the fact that the Buccaneers defense carried the day is not a negative. It's a positive. And I'm totally with you, Crimson King. I don't know your name, so I'm just going to call you CK, right? So CK, I'm totally with you here. But what I was trying to say, and I get it, it's kind of splitting hairs, right? Is when you look at this game and you say, this offense was unable to generate any touchdowns on their own without a defensive boost. Yes, you're wonderfully happy that the defense gave you that boost. Absolutely through the roof. That's why the defense was included in the Devin White nomination for the best, which 80% of you voted for as the best. But you, when you look at it and you say, we needed those turnovers, which in this game against the New Orleans Saints, I can honestly say if the Buccaneers offense did not get those turnovers from the defense, this game could have gone a long way. That's why I put it in the worst. But then also, look, you're splitting hairs in some of these games. When the Buccaneers beat the Green Bay Packers earlier this season, I had to split hairs to find my worst. This was a split hair. I love splitting hairs for this column because it means the Buccaneers did a really good job in almost all the phases. Obviously, the third phase of the game, they didn't do so well, which is why it won the worst of the week. All right, but that's going to wrap up segment two here in the midweek on the Locked On Bucs podcast. Coming up, guys, we're going to have some voicemails, and then we're also going to talk about our biggest concern and our biggest confidence heading into the divisional round, or the NFC Championship game, sorry, against the Green Bay Packers this Sunday. And as you get ready for championship football this weekend, if you're thinking about putting money on the games, there's only one place that James and I want to send you to, and that is betonline.ag, the official betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. Sign up today with betonline.ag. You get a free account and use promo code Locked On when you make your first deposit to get a 50% welcome bonus. You've got all the NFL games of the week. You've got college sports and you've got major sports. NHL's in full swing. Basketball is rolling through. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget, use the promo code Locked On when you make your first deposit to receive a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Segment three coming up here, the Locked On Bucs podcast.
Wrapping things up here on a Wednesday edition of the Locked On Bucs podcast. You know what? When you're done listening to us, make sure you check out our friends Peacock and Williamson. NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, every team, and every move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We have a voicemail on a Wednesday. That is not normal.
We actually have two, but we're going to play the second one is going to be the last thing we talk about tonight.
Okay. Two voicemails on a Wednesday. This is wild. All right, let's get to it so we have time for everything.
James, Kevin from Orlando calling. I was able to watch the Bucs game Sunday, and that was the best game I think I've seen this season. That was just a thing of beauty, especially White's interception there. That was just amazing. And I, like you, stayed up to like 1 a.m. I was just too excited. I just could not go to sleep the Sunday night. I just could not do it. Anyway, I wanted to call because I wanted to ask about the next game here and, of course, the conditions that the Bucs are going to be playing in. Just hope that they can turn the climate control of the practice facility down to 15 degrees and pretty much keep it that way the entire time so they can play in those conditions and know what to expect and take that football and make it all wet and wet and snowy so they can know how to hold on to it and everything and pretty much prepare for what might be in store to be a very cold and snowy game. So anyway, just wanted to share my thoughts about that. I wanted to know if you might have any idea what they're going to do with that practice facility to prepare for these conditions, and just hope that everybody can be able to hold on to the football in these conditions and be able to pass and run with it. Look forward to your next episode.
Kevin, thank you very much for the phone call. Look, I don't know what they're planning to do. I will say this. There's nothing you can do. When you're playing in 20-degree weather and the snow, there's nothing you're going to be able to do in practice to prepare for that sort of thing. And to be honest, it's really kind of overblown. Everyone knows who listens to this show, unless you're a relatively new listener. Everyone knows I'm a big fan of Pat McAfee. I love listening to his podcast. I listen to his Sirius show all the time. He has Aaron Rodgers on every Tuesday. And he was asking Rodgers ahead of the Rams game, you know, how he plays in such cold weather. And one of the things that he mentioned is the absolute worst thing you can do is stand in front of the heaters. He goes, you're going from one extreme to the other, and it actually makes it that much worse. The best thing you can do is just move on the sidelines, put the heavy coat on. He goes, but stay away from the heaters because they're going to make you too warm. Then you go back on the field and you're right back to the extreme of being cold. You're going to tighten up and it's going to make things worse. So hopefully somebody within the Buccaneers organization listened to that. And the players know to stay away from the body warmers and the heaters that they'll have on the sideline there because it will make things worse. But there's nothing that the Buccaneers are going to be able to do in their practice facility to try to replicate the level of cold that they're going to play in. All they have to do is they have to go out there and they got to play football. You know, both teams are playing in the same conditions. I understand one is more used to it than the other, but they both got to play the game and the Bucs need to play their game. And it's not like they don't have a guy under center who has played in those conditions, I don't know, for like the last 20 years.
Jason Curtis, you know, writer over at BucsNation.com, is actually doing an article that's going to drop today, the same day as the podcast, about that very topic. And so I hit him up, James. I said, look, send me some bullet points on what you're talking about, because some of it was pretty interesting. And some of it's kind of simple. Some of you already know, right? Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown, Ryan Jensen, Cameron Brate. These are all guys who have played in cold weather before, so they know what to expect. They know how to do it. And honestly, to a certain extent, once it gets so cold, right, it's just cold. And to me, like 10 degrees, if it's below 10 degrees, it's all the same cold to me in my experience in the cold. And I mean, everybody's different. They've got thermal parkas on the player side. You see him running over the sideline, and you got the guy that drapes the jacket over them. But then one part of his article, guys, he quotes Bruce Arians and saying, you know, quote, every time I played in Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, or Buffalo, nobody was cold out on the field. It's more mental and staying warm on the sideline. We've got all that technology now with the heaters and everything else. It's different, but it's not that big of a deal for us. End quote. Like you mentioned, James, you don't want to get too warm with that stuff, but it does help. Tom Brady has been called by some people as the best cold weather quarterback of all time. He's got a 13-2 record in cold weather playoff games. So that's another thing. But the most interesting part for me, James, anyway, and I didn't even know this about Green Bay until I started reading what Jason was writing there. The fields and the sidelines, they've got heated benches, heated helmet posts, large space heaters, which you already mentioned, but they also have a hydronic heating system under the field that was installed in the early 2000s. Packers offensive lineman TJ Lang, this is a quote that Jason's got, quote, it's just like playing in the summer on grass. It's never hard. It's never frozen. So the frozen tundra, apparently, according to TJ Lang, Green Bay Packers, ain't all that frozen.
It ain't frozen no more.
So, yeah, so that's some stuff. Again, Jason Curtis, he's got way more. You know, he's actually, I'm literally watching him type out the article right now. He's already to 1,000 words. So there's more to it than just those bullet points. So make sure you check that out at BucsNation.com. Great question, but Jason is going to address a lot of those things in that column.
All right. Well, David, let's get to our biggest confidence and our biggest concern for this Sunday's game. And I'll go ahead and kick things off. My biggest confidence is, look, this is a Buccaneers team that has already beaten the Packers once, so they know they can do it. They know they have the talent and the ability. Not only that, they could be getting Vita Vea back, who did not play in that first Packers-Bucks game. In fact, that was the first game that he missed. And I know, David, I'm taking a bunch of them, but finally, you have number 12. And the calmness, the experience, the leadership that he brings, it's going to help these guys get through it. Jenna Lane talked about it on ESPN, that Brady's calmness and trust in his teammates kind of provided an overall calming effect for the whole team in New Orleans. And that's why they didn't panic. No matter what the situation was, no matter what the score was, nobody panicked because of the calm and leadership that Tom Brady provides and the trust that he has in his teammates to get the job done. That's why I think the Bucs can go up to Lambeau and they can beat this Packers team as well as they're playing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there came a point in this season, and I think we talked to Scott Smith about this earlier during the regular season, where this team fell behind or they were having some struggles, and you didn't get that feeling in the pit of your stomach that, oh, here we go again feeling, you know what I mean? Unfortunately, I've had, and I think you've had as well, the unfortunate honor, you know what I mean? It was still great to do it, but to cover those games in person where you're kind of like, you know, like sometimes you want to go back up and I don't know, maybe get like a pretzel or something. I don't know. You're just kind of bored. So you're like, oh, I want to go get a pretzel or something, come back and I'll watch the rest of this thing and take my notes and everything else. and you don't feel like you can't do it because there's nothing that you're like, yeah, I've seen this song and dance before. There's nothing I'm going to miss. With this team, you don't want to get up because there's something that could happen at any moment, and you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be in the bathroom or getting a drink or getting, you know, like I said, a pretzel or whatever when that time comes. That's the biggest difference between this team, which is the biggest confidence I have entering this weekend's NFC Championship game.
All right. And David, my biggest concern is really how hot this Green Bay Packers team has been over the last seven games. Look, the Bucs are riding a six-game win streak. The Green Bay Packers, they've won seven in a row. These are the points that they've given up over those seven games. 25, 16, 24, 16, 14, 16, 18. They are allowing 18.4 points per game on the defensive side of the ball over this win streak. On the offensive side of the ball, Aaron Rodgers looks dialed in. They have scored 40, 30, 31, 24, 40, 35, 32. 33.2 points per game against 18.4 points per game allowed over the course of the seven-game win streak. The momentum, the way they are clicking on both sides of the ball, and Aaron Rodgers being able to play in an NFC championship in his home field for the first time in his career, those are my biggest concerns.
You know, my biggest concern, honestly, is that this defense is going to come out and try to replicate what they did against the New Orleans Saints. And we've had this conversation before. If you've been listening to the show consistently, you already know where I'm about to go with this. You can't try to get stuff done. You just got to get it done. And if this young team, and that's where it comes from, call me an ageist, I don't know what you want to say, but if this young team comes out and says, we're going to try and do exactly what we did against the New Orleans Saints and get those takeaways and all that stuff, then I feel like that opens the door to the potential for disaster, for overcommitting, overreading, overstepping, whatever you want to call it. And that could open the door for Aaron Rodgers and this Packers offense to do something dangerous. They need to just stay within the game plan, stay within their skill set, do what they did against the Saints. Just be in the right place and then take advantage of the opportunities when they come and trust that they're going to come and they'll be fine. But if they go out there trying to make those things happen, I feel like that's where some of these guys can get in trouble.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, David, we have that final voicemail. Let's get to it before we wrap up the show.
Yo, this is Dorian from Wisconsin. First of all, you guys have a great show. I listen to all the opposing teams Locked On podcast throughout the week when the Packers played them, and listen to you guys back in week six, and you do a great job. So shout out to you guys. Shout out to the Bucks. You guys had a great season. But I just want to let you know that there is no way, no way you're beating the Packers. This is a wrap. Vita Vea, Velveeta, Vegeta, it doesn't matter. Packers by 10, 34, 24 on Sunday. You guys have a great year. Hang your heads high. But it's coming to an end at about 6 p.m. your time this Sunday. Peace out.
David, we've been infiltrated.
I love it, man.
But
I love
you know what, Dorian? First off, appreciate you listening. Appreciate the compliment. Like the fact that you dive in to the Packers opponents podcast and you like to hear what the Locked On hosts are saying about the team that your squad is about to face. I love it. I absolutely love it. But you know who else said that the Bucs had no chance? That was all the Saints fans. There's no way Drew Brees is going to lose his last game in the Superdome. There's no way that the Saints are going to lose to the Buccaneers. You know, the Saints are the Bucs' daddy. We're sitting at the big boy table, five in a row. The Bucs can't win. Sean Payton's at his head. David, I am loving so much all of the experts, all of the analysts, all of the talking heads on TV and on the radio saying, Bucs got no shot. You got to go to Lambeau. It's 20 degrees. It's snow. It's Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, there's no way the Bucs can win this. Aaron Rodgers revenge game. They're embarrassed for week six. Keep telling this Buccaneers team what they can't do. The media told Devin White and Lavonte David that they were not Pro Bowlers or all pros. The media told Tom Brady he wasn't going to beat Drew Brees in Brees' last game in the Superdome. Let's rewind the clock. Let's rewind it 18 years ago yesterday. Hey, as people are listening to this, there's no way the Bucs can go in to the Vet, the last game in a historic stadium, and beat the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl. Rondé had other ideas. So, Dorian, love the phone call. Respect you. Respect the Packers. Respect what they are able to do. don't tell Tom Brady what he can't do, because we all know how that's going to end.
Yeah, man, I dig it. I dig the boldness. I appreciate it as well. And I dig the prediction and the pipes. I mean, you sing a lot better than I do.
True that.
But Steve Smith has already had to backtrack on some of his words, and you might have to backtrack as well. Ooh. Listen, since the 2002 season, right, when the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, the Buccaneers lost that year twice to a certain team, James. You remember what team that was?
That was the New Orleans Saints.
That was the New Orleans Saints. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers also beat the Green Bay Packers in the regular season of the 2002 season. So there is a trend coming up here. But including that season, the Buccaneers are 5-4 against the Green Bay Packers since the 2002 season. So the Packers actually have to win this game. Dorian, the Green Bay Packers have to win this game to reach 500 against this Buccaneers team since that Super Bowl. Now, of course, Aaron Rodgers wasn't a part of all those games, of course, because while Mitchell Trubisky can start as a rookie, Aaron Rodgers needed 3 years to get ready for the NFL stage. Since Rodgers became a starting quarterback, the Packers and Buccaneers, 3-3 against each other. So this is the rubber match, I suppose. James, helped me out with that baseball terminology because I don't like baseball. But I do want to point out one of those Tampa Bay wins, one of those three wins since the Aaron Rodgers era began, James, came in the same season that Raheem Morris led this squad to 3-13 on the season.
Yeah, that was a throwback game. The Bucs are wearing their creamsicles.
So if you want to weigh these wins, that win with that 3-13 Buccaneers team, that one hurts a little bit, Dorian. That one hurts just a little bit more. Now, you could say 500 means there's no dominant team in the series in recent history, right? And I suppose you would be correct. But consider this as well. The Packers have had just Aaron Rodgers, Matt Flynn, and Brett Hundley appear in six or more games in this franchise, or for that franchise, since 2008 at quarterback. Meanwhile, the Buccaneers in the same stretch have had Jeff Garcia, Josh Freeman, Mike Glennon, Josh McCown, Jameis Winston, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, 3-3 in the Aaron Rodgers era against this Tampa Bay Buccaneers squad, Dorian. So yes, there is a chance that it could happen. And if it does, Dorian, I expect you to be singing on our voicemail some praises for the Buccaneers if the Buccaneers walk out of Lambeau with that win. If the Buccaneers lose, I don't know, James. What are we going to do for Dorian if the Buccaneers lose? Let's get creative.
Oh, you put me on the spot. I have no idea. Outside of just a personal shout out and personal congratulations to him.
You know what? Let's do this Brooklyn Nine-Nine style. Dorian, if the Green Bay Packers win on Sunday night, we will wrap up our post-game show by stating publicly that your team, blank team, is the best NFL/NFC squad in football.
Is this like the hide and seek?
The heist, exactly. The Halloween heist. Yep.
Yes. The public.
But that's what we'll do. So if the Packers win, we will end our post game episode with that statement, Dorian. You can do whatever you want with that. But if the Buccaneers win, brother, you got to let those pipes shine one more time on this voicemail line, and you got to sing us a tune about the Buccaneers sending Aaron Rodgers to the offseason.
And not only that, but he should have to learn the Tampa Bay Buccaneers song. I want to hear him jump on and be like, hey, hey, Tampa Bay, Bucks know how to shine. Yeah, he's going to have to sing the Tampa Bay song.
I'll leave the creative license to the artist.
All right.
We'll let him do
it. Fair enough. Dorian, again, thank you so much for calling in. It really was. It was fun to hear from you. Appreciate you keeping it respectful and nice, but you know, still having some fun talking a little trash. It's going to be a great game, brother. It really is. And a thank you to Kevin from Orlando to calling in, asking about the conditions and what the Bucs are going to do to prepare for that. Appreciate him. Coming up tomorrow, David, you have a crossover episode with host Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers. It's your second time talking to him, and if I remember correctly, he had talked about how the Packers were going to win in week six because they don't turn the ball over. That was a thing that was said. And then I had to go on Locked On NFL and tell him why he was wrong. But yeah, make sure you're going to check out that crossover episode coming up tomorrow. Until then, check out everything going on over at BucksNation.com, especially Jason's deep dive into the weather, because that's going to be a fun one to read about. Make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JArco_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to each other, and don't take any flack from Packers fans. We have now transitioned. We're at the midway point of the week. No more celebrating. Celebration time is over. It's time to look ahead to the NFC Championship and hope that these Bucks get the job done. Thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.